Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday afternoon. Ryan Tannehill had his press conference via the telephone at 11:30. We'll have a little bit of that a little bit later in the program. Dennis Kelly expected to do a conference call at 1 o'clock. But right now we say hello to Ramon Foster and Elijah. I'm not able to pull it up here. There we go. The big ragu, as we said here at lunchtime. Former Pittsburgh Steeler offensive lineman yesterday announced that after 11 seasons, 11 very productive seasons with the Steelers and in the NFL, he has decided to hang it up. Ramon, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
So how was life the first day waking up knowing that the plan is you're no longer a football player?
It's interesting. It's been a whole lot of emotions of just taking everything in, number one, but also the reality of, I think as athletes, we're never just off from the game. You know, the mindset is always preparing for something else. And now is a sense of, I guess, relaxation on the mental side of it, but knowing that you transitioned over to a different phase of your life is actually kind of cool. The rest of the game part, the emotions, I'm sure still be there, and I'll be attached to it as far as thinking I still could or I should have, and I'll just take it as it comes, though.
Was this an easy decision, a really, really tough decision? On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard was it to come up with what you put out yesterday?
I think on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 10 because – with all athletes and just people in general, if you're a competitor, you always feel like you've got something left or you don't know when to say when. That's what we all fall into the threshold of, is never knowing when to say when. And it's been on my mind probably since the last game of the season. I remember, I don't know if anybody has switched, but I hugged my left tackle and I was like, man, I don't know if this is the last time, but I gave him a very sentimental like conversation before we went out for our last series. So it's been on my mind, and the process of actually pulling the trigger is probably the hardest part, because it's not like you're saying you quit, but it's just an end to something.
We've taken a little bit of credit on this show, Ramon, for your spectacular career and racing back to the NFL and signing a big deal with the Steelers. You came and spent a little time with us. You saw our paychecks and you said, I'm going back to the NFL. I have no interest in doing radio. So we've taken a little bit of credit for your, you know, you prolonging your NFL career. So as I said yesterday, Ramon, yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate that. And it's funny, every person I've spoken to in the sports media world has said the same thing. Of course, we all have that will or that want to be in that side of the world. But every single person I've ran into is like, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. This is not a moneymaker. So I know you guys do it because of the passion.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you still have that passion? I mean, is it too early to decide or to think about what life after football means for Ramon Foster? Or you seem like one of those guys, just in the little time, in all seriousness, that we did spend around you. One, we really enjoyed it, but you know, a lot of players that we've been around, we've been doing this a long time, they just live in the moment. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they don't really – all they can think about is what they're doing at that point. They don't really think about life after until it actually happens. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes that doesn't work out. But you kind of seem like a guy that was, you know, also would put a little time on the side or in the back of your mind, be thinking of what will life after football be? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is, and that's how I've kind of approached it since I the more you play in the league, and if you're smart enough, you become wise to the business side of it. So I was telling our GM, Kevin Colbert, and Coach Tomlin, when, you know, we were talking about the decision of me walking away, is, you know, my mentality of being that undrafted guy and just having the mindset of being a survivalist more than anything in this league has always left me in a position to look over my shoulder in the sense of whether I was going to get cut, which I didn't, or whether it was just a career-ending injury, is always in the back of your mind. So I always try to approach the game like that and try to be a guy that's planning for something new or formulating relationships or never being a guy that you're unreachable or you're above people. I never wanted to be that type of person. So yes, that has been in the plan and in the works for me. So I'll have a couple opportunities, I guess, when this pandemic, I hope and pray, goes down to, you know, maybe do something corporate. Or I've had people ask me about the media world, and there's always the coaching aspect of it, too. So the game is just a platform, and, you know, I realize that this ends. And that's why, you know, it's a sentimental moment for me right now, but it's not a life-changing situation where I have to scrap everything that I'm doing and reinvent myself. I've always tried to be up on stuff and be a little smarter about how I move and not have those social media antics or outbursts that, you know, can ruin a guy, because I always felt like I'm going to have to work after football in the sense of just being busy or doing something. The people you associate yourself with are going to look at your movement and activity on those social platforms and what type of person you are.
Well, we have no doubts on this show that you'll do fantastic at whatever you choose to do moving forward. So you've made Nashville, Middle Tennessee, your home in the off seasons. Are you going to continue to make this area your home now that you're out of football?
Yes, 100%. I was talking to somebody earlier. I absolutely love the state of Tennessee. And I know it's like, well, Tennessee is the – like, I love the state. I'm from West Tennessee. My wife's from Middle Tennessee in Springfield. I went to college in Knoxville at UT. So this is my home. I stay in Hendersonville now, and I'll continue to stay here just simply because I love the people in the state. I love how the growth is in the Nashville area is now, and I want to get my hooks in and as much things or as many things as I possibly can in the city, because I don't just want to be a guy that's here and that's not being productive with the influence that I'm able to have. I mean, wherever I can be a productive citizen, I plan on doing that. And, you know, making my rounds to Knoxville to actually celebrate some game days or being able to be a fan of certain things and appreciate being a former NFL player.
Talking to Ramon Foster, recently retired of the Pittsburgh Steelers, here on Darren Donick and Chase. And, you know, we've watched over the last few years your teammate Ryan Shazier and the battle that he's gone through after that injury. And just to see the progress that he made, I saw that the Steelers placed him on the reserve retired list today. But what was that whole situation like for you all in the locker room to – you know, go through it from the very beginning to see the injury, but to see the progress that he made?
It's huge. It's phenomenal, man. And that's what I mean by, like, the strength and the mindset of guys who are natural competitors. Even in you guys' business, there are some people and you guys who are very adamant about what their mindsets is going to be and who they are, you know, how people are going to view them. And Ryan, from the time he had that injury in Cincinnati to where he is now, and to see him around the building and continuously get better, man, it says a lot about, one, the person he is, but two, it's phenomenal to what the human body could do or can be depending on your mindset. So I'm appreciative to have known Ryan and to continue to see his progress, honestly. It's been very cool.
You know, we're sitting here talking quarterbacks and all these free agent quarterbacks moving around, but you played with a guy that faced a tough injury last year, but looks to be ready to bounce back and come back for another season. Ben Roethlisberger, what was it like playing with him for so long and a guy that was all about toughness?
It was cool, man. I think if you're a fan of a team or of an organization, of any organization, you know that the quarterback position is numero uno. You can cut it however you want to. You can say a receiver, a DB, a D lineman. Like, it starts and goes with the quarterback. And to have one quarterback my entire career was probably one of the biggest blessings probably to my career as far as the on-field stuff. And I'm sure with, you know, moving forward, the way the Titans have locked up Tannehill is, they'll see the importance of having a guy who's steady, a guy that you can depend on, and the guys rally around and can honestly pull you out of games. Having that franchise-type quarterback the way we had in Pittsburgh, you walk in the stadium different because you know you have a chance to win every game. It's not a, I hope we win. It's, okay, let's go win the game. So that was huge for me, and I'm glad that guy, who in my book for sure a future Hall of Famer, was my guy for so long, and I look forward to seeing what he's going to do this year as a fan.
Ramon, as we get close to draft season, and albeit with everything going on, it's certainly going to be different, but you know, you made the league as an undrafted free agent and had a long career, as we've been talking about. What's some advice that you have to some of these guys that are going through the process right now that, you know, might be projected in the later rounds or are not getting drafted at all, but to put forth the work to have a career like you did?
Never let an opportunity slip, no matter what. I teach that to my sons now. I'm like, if you want to be the person that you say you are, if there's a line of guys lining up and you're at the back of the line, like, don't be that guy. Show the coaches that you're willing, because my mentality was on how I played the game. You know, as young guys or as college players, we hope, we pray, we bleed, like we get injured, we fight through stuff just for an opportunity to play the game and to make it to the highest level, which is the NFL. So when you get those opportunities or it's in front of you, take advantage of it. Don't let your self-doubt or circumstances in front of you, because I had those same situations, and you just have to push through and show your perseverance, because if that team doesn't like it, somebody else from another team, the coaching circuit and players and leagues are all interconnected. People talk and they understand that. So I've seen it time and time again where guys, I won't say quit, but they shut it down mentally, at least in camp, and they've had opportunities to make teams, and simply because of self-doubt that, you know, they never made it to a 53-man roster. So never quit on yourself and always be that guy that's going to show that you're willing and capable of being who you say you are.
Ramon Foster is with us, offensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers, in the wake of announcing his retirement. And, Ramon, I'm looking at a log of all the playoff games you played in. And so I'll just ask it this way, because I'm looking and I'm remembering back to some of these games. Give me your greatest moment that you remember and maybe your most disappointing moment. Because being on a team that was really in the fight every year, almost always right there for the postseason, you had the range of emotions.
Yeah, the most disappointing, of course, is losing the Super Bowl win. We for sure had a definite chance of beating Green Bay when it was the opening of the Cowboys Stadium. That right there, but that experience in itself is one of those things where I see why guys continue to play the game and search for that ring, you know. And one of the coolest moments was probably that AFC Championship game against the Jets. I think everybody doubted us. It was still at home, and the lead up to that game, Baltimore had us beat the week before. We were down and out, and the same way the Titans went on that run this year to where it's like, how are they pulling it off? That's the type of run that we had back in 2010, 2011. I was, as a young guy, I probably took it for granted because I was like, well, the year before I got there, they won the Super Bowl, and then we didn't make the playoffs, and then we were going right back to the Super Bowl again. I would have treasured the moment way better than I did. And just that aspect of the game was so awesome and authentic to me.
Ramon, as we wrap this up, I mean, we can't let you go without asking about that crazy, crazy Thursday night game in November in Cleveland, right? I mean, is that rank up there as the craziest ending to a game you ever were a part of?
Yes, it is, and that's one of the things of how the game works out, you know, in the sense of emotions will run high, guys have a competitive edge of spirit, and it's just sometimes if you're on the field or you've been on the field, you kind of understand some of the things that go on. But hopefully moving forward, something like that never happens to that capacity again. Tempers are going to fly and stuff, but never like that again, I hope, you know?
Well, you spent many, many years in the trenches, and you know that is a crazy place to be every snap of the ball. I mean, could you feel that happen? Was this one a little bit different? Could you feel it escalating to where it ended up?
I didn't see it going in that fashion. I thought they had us beat. They knew they had us beat, and I was just like, wow, it's a, you know, they rightfully beat us. There was no excuse. We had a terrible game. they played a really good game. And to see it go in that fashion, I didn't because there wasn't much tension during the game. I saw no reason for it to go that way. So, yes, it was more shocking to me. And that type of stuff is more of a fluke situation than I think a regular occurrence. And guys were fined and suspended, I guess you can say, appropriately for it. So, but no, during the game had no sense. And I'm cool with a lot of those guys on that team, but simply because we see each other a lot.
Sure.
And everybody kind of had that mouth drop, like, reaction to it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, whenever this craziness dies down, we'd love to get you in the studio and hang out with us for a while. We'll talk some football, talk life. But until then, be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for doing this.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on, man.
That is Ramon Foster. We always appreciate catching up with him. The Big Ragu, former Pittsburgh Steeler offensive lineman, as you just heard. Of course, he was a Vol.
A VFL.
That's
Come
right.
on now.
He was a guy that West Tennessee guy, then an East Tennessee guy, now Middle Tennessee guy. And he said he's going to continue making this his home. So we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Ramon Foster, you saw me eating a Pop-Tart, which that's really healthy for lunch. I forgot to pack, and that's all I had. It was a leftover. And you said...
And you didn't toast it.
And I know, I like to toast
it. You like to toast it?
Yeah, I do.
That's a kind of a four question. I used to go with just the regular rip it open, eat it Pop-Tart in college many a time.
I mean, I'm doing that now, but I would much more... My first preference is for it to be toasted.
Okay.
But
you're
said,
okay eating it on the fly.
As I just said, I'm desperate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I had left in my
bag.
It was a carryover. It wasn't packed. It was a carryover from yesterday.
Well, this brings up.
And you said, is this a hot ticket item?
Well, because, listen, this is the reality of our situation, right? We're not going to have our first choice when we go to the grocery store for the next several weeks, right? It's going to be an issue. Right, we see the pictures of all the shelves. You've probably gone to your grocery store, and it's a mixed bag.
I went the
best.
Other day to get pasta because you know everybody knows I like buttered noodles, and there were no noodles.
So you had to go a different kind of pasta?
No, there were nothing.
No pasta.
No lasagna.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is obviously very serious. We're talking about here because this is an issue we're going to have to deal with, and they're talking about it at the very, very top with all these things. But we had a fun argument. In the context of this, of what would a certain food likely be on the shelf or not be on the shelf when you go to the grocery store, and we know the selection is going to be limited at best. We know what's not going to be there, right? Or what's you're lucky to have the TP and everything like that, which is still like, come on, people. But Pop-Tarts came up. Like, would Pop-Tarts likely be on the shelf or likely just be wiped out?
I told you, I would suspect they're on the shelf.
You don't think that's like, we got to get the Pop-Tarts?
No, you said Cheez-Its. Like, I would buy definitely Cheez-Its more of a hot ticket item than Pop-Tarts.
My kids wanted Cheez-Its a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. This is not, of course, every day. Things get more and more, like, focused in, like, wow, this is big. But even before, the Cheez-Its were not in a plentiful thing. There was a very limited selection of the Cheez-Its. I was glad to get one box. I was like, I can't be that guy that cleans out the last four. Like, don't be that guy, right? If there's four left, take one. Take one. But don't take the last four. Like, oh, my God, there's only four. I'll take all four. Don't do that. Think of other people. But what other foods come to mind? Like, what would be on the fence of, like, would it be there? Or would it not be there?
Well, we already know what is not there.
Well, yes, we know.
Like
and,
the milk and,
listen,
and
the
breads
basics,
and
we're
that
have to stick
stuff
to the basics
is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Way gone.
And I've seen in some places, aren't like liquor stores closing?
Yes,
and
that is true. Yep. Which I don't understand why.
I mean, I feel like with a bunch of germs around, alcohol might actually be a good thing.
Helps, right? I thought we were supposed to sanitize. Huh? I mean, alcohol? No.
Get the hard stuff.
Well, if you can't have the cleaning.
A lot of people are making hand sanitizer at home.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I have heard that. Like,
evidently, it's not that hard.
Well, but people, I've heard some doctors say, you know, that's really not a good idea.
No?
Not a good idea.
I have not heard that, but have you really heard that?
No, honestly, I did have a doctor say, let's, you know, this was a week ago, maybe in another couple of weeks, people were like, you got to do what you got to do. But I heard the doctor say, let's not, that's not good. Don't do that.
Well, you know, what's interesting is sometimes.
Is there some YouTube, like there, I know this is unfortunately.
Of course there is.
There's some stuff, there's some misinformation out there, like the yo-yos that say, well, here's all you got to do with the coronavirus. You just have to do this. And that's not true. It's like there's no cure. There's a reason why we're doing this because there's no cure. You can maybe help the symptoms with some of these stuff, but like, why? But this is the internet, right? You have some people that put stuff out there that's not true. It's not true.
We went down to the beach several years ago in this particular seafood restaurant, which is really, really good. I was like, can I have some cocktail sauce? Because you guys know, I'm sorry, I'm a condiment guy. I'm not apologizing. I like condiments. If you don't like it, tough,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
I'm not going to apologize for that. I wanted some cocktail sauce. They're like, okay, make it. I was like, what? Like, yeah, all the ingredients are on the table. I'm like, huh?
You have to actually do it?
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
I didn't know it was that simple. It's actually really, really easy.
What is it?
Ketchup and horsey.
Straight up.
That's it.
Yeah.
Straight up. Just a mix of those
two.
And
you just mix it up, and that's it. And I was like,
there's no third ingredient? It's just
two. That's it. I had no idea.
Wow. I learned something today.
And it was really good.
So if you go to the grocery store and there's no cocktail sauce, that's your next move.
It's easy to do at home.
That's your next move.
Yeah.
Get the horseradish sauce, which I would think has got to be on the shelf.
Our audience is very smart. Mike texts in and says, it has to be 120 proof, 60% alcohol to kill germs.
Has to be 120 proof?
Yep.
Well, usually what I buy, that's no problem.
Yep.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. It just sounded good.
You just wanted to sound like a, yeah!
It gives us moonshine. One Bacardi 151. What is 120 proof? Like, there's not very many options, right?
Well, that's like grain alcohol, I think, that burns. I mean, it, like that would be like Everclear. Let me see what Everclear.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, what?
Everclear.
There's got to be some options over. Let's take Clay's call while you look that up. Clay, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
Yeah, Everclear is 120 proof.
Is Willie in town? Is he on the show today?
I am, Clay.
Well, do you think he's out of town with the Preds?
No, he's not. How are you, Willie?
I'm hanging in. I'm hanging in like all of us, right?
I have a little potentially breaking news on Vanderbilt basketball, and then I wanted to touch on the Titans a little bit too. Potentially, so I'm hearing, Willie, Cleavon Brown might be granted this medical red shirt and might be on this basketball team next year.
Well, that would help. You know, they need everybody. I think you project them next year and you say, if you tell me that they have Cleavon Brown, Saban Lee, and Aaron Nesmith, that's a whole different picture than they have none of those guys. And I think both scenarios were probably possible. I mean, are probably possible, right? And then everything in between.
Everything I'm hearing, I think Coach Stackhouse, the projections, what I've seen, Aaron is going to be like a top 14, 15 pick, maybe. If that's the case, you know, the closer we get to the draft, everything I'm hearing, Coach Stackhouse is encouraging him to go to the NBA.
Well, I would say the same thing, but I would also say that this isn't your normal lead up to the draft, and that could mean a lot of things for a lot of different people. So I don't know. I know he'll make the best decision for himself, but and I agree with that assessment. If take all the other things around it away, if he is going to be a first-round pick, he should go.
Don't you think? I think if Coach Stackhouse is not coming back, we have heard by now. So I look for Jerry Stackhouse to stick around at Vanderbilt for a while.
I've not heard anything to the contrary. I'm assuming he will be back.
I don't know why we would know now. I mean, all the stuff going on right now, I don't know.
Well, even before, there's been no indication that he's not, that he's looking around. There's not one rumor I've heard. Now, of course, if we were leading up to the Final Four, then that's when some of this stuff starts swirling. But honestly, I hadn't heard a hint.
He's not going to,
that would say he's not coming back.
Well, he's not going to Iona, and he's not going to Grand Canyon. We know that.
Yeah, we got that.
All right, we'll come back. John Glennon from The Athletic. We'll talk about Ryan Tannehill's presser on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Kind of getting us in the mood for John Glennon from The Athletic. Can you feel the vibe? Yeah.
I can picture a young John Glennon listening to this song on the radio.
I kind of felt like this song was in the background of Ryan Tannehill's press conference. Real smooth, easy sailing. Easy press conference. Teleconference.
There was a whole lot that was in the background of Ryan Tannehill's press conference. Let me tell you that.
I'll tell you what.
From a serial sneezer to a dog barking to an ad for, we won't get into that.
I was going to say, so obviously we're doing the show. We're not a part of it. So I was going to start off with, John, what the hell happened an hour ago?
Apparently some people don't understand the point or the workings of a teleconference. Don't understand that blaring TVs, that live ads, barking dogs, sneezing and wheezing, all of the above can be heard on the teleconference. So that, combined with the fact that 47 people were probably trying to ask a question every 30 seconds or so, made life quite entertaining.
Yeah, when the Titans PR have to put out a release after that, you know it went south. It went bad.
Yeah, it was not good. Fortunately, I would suspect we won't have the same number for Dennis Kelly, but yes, already new procedures have been instituted to clear things up a little bit.
That may be a first, I'm sure. By the way, I'm sure you guys were glad you were all in separate places after hearing that.
We definitely were, because as I say, someone sounded like
weren't doing well.
There sounded like some. I mean, you hate to even joke about it in these times, but yeah, it sounded like there was some illness going on, and I was pleased with the great amount of social distancing over the telephones there.
Okay, if you could have muted all the background noise, what did you actually gather from what Ryan Tannehill said?
I thought it was a little bit interesting to me. You know, he was pretty honest about the fact that negotiations started a little bit slowly in his mind. And, you know, he wasn't sure that they were going to turn out the way they did. He said he kind of had to kind of keep the faith, tune out the noise, and some of that noise was certainly all the talk about Tom Brady. You know, he said that stuff does run through your mind a little bit, or he did hear that. But, you know, the good news for Ryan, you know, he certainly wanted to be here and certainly had his best career year, and voila, he's got a new deal. Just when he can walk into his own building again remains to be seen, the Titans facility. But at least he has that new deal and that security.
We have speculated on this show, just our opinion, that maybe who was under center may have determined how they were going to approach Jack Conklin. And we felt like if it was Tannehill, Conklin was probably gone. If it was Brady, they would probably figure out a way to keep him around. Would you sign up for that? Do you think there was any of that going on, or do you disagree?
Not out of the question. I wouldn't say. Because certainly you have to worry much more about the pocket there and getting the top quality guy even at high money if you're bringing Tom Brady in. Ryan Tannehill, of course, has a little bit more mobility than Tom Brady. Still, it's going to be interesting to me. I still suspect the Titans will go for a tackle, you know, pretty early in the draft. I mean, Dennis Kelly is a good player, and he's done spot starts and spot duty for the Titans well over the years.
You know, is he your set in stone right tackle for the next two or three years? I don't know about that. So I still suspect we'll see a guy brought in, you know, and Dennis Kelly will sort of act as sort of like a bridge for a year or so, would be my guess.
Nothing on Logan Ryan. Where do you think that is going?
If I had to put money on it, I would say he probably moves on. What might be in the Titans' favor of bringing Logan Ryan back is it's a pretty big group of defensive backs that hit the free agent market. You know, a number have already been signed, and there's a number more of quality DBs out there. So the money may not be what some of these guys, perhaps Logan Ryan included, are looking for. But, you know, I say if I had to put money on it right now, I would think he moves on just because, you know, the Titans are bringing back two guys in Butler and Jackson anyway. And you think maybe if the Titans want to upgrade in the secondary, the one thing that they could probably do is, as good as Logan Ryan is and the stats that he had were great, maybe the speed factor in the Titans secondary, especially a corner, could stand a little bit of an upgrade. So maybe you go for a younger, speedier defensive back, you know, early in the draft to bolster that position.
Talking to John Glennon from The Athletic. And John, we just saw, you know, while the conference call was actually happening with Tannehill, Chase Daniel signs a 3-year deal for about $13 million. I don't know how much of that is guaranteed. I didn't get into the details, but it did spark a discussion here that you wonder what John Robinson's plan is now for the backup to Ryan Tannehill. So what are your thoughts on that? What do you think they would budget for somebody, and what veterans might be out there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, as crazy as this sounds, I'm still not going to completely rule out Logan Woodside occupying that spot whenever the season does start. And I know that's kind of mind-blowing, but the Titans really do like this guy. He's got, obviously, you know, a lot of experience and knowledge of this team and of Arthur Smith and his system, even though he wasn't able to play last year after going on IR on the practice squad. Will there be somebody else also in camp and competing? Yes, certainly. The big names, certainly. I don't think the Titans are going to be looking at any of the bigger names right now. But I do think there are some names out there. Unfortunately, I don't have my list right in front of me. But I do think that there are some, you know, potential guys that that could fill that role pretty well.
But do you think that Woodside is in consideration? Because as you mentioned, regardless of what the name is, right, the profile would be it's a guy that's been around for a while that would be your stopgap, that is more experienced, more of a known quantity than Woodside. But do you think Woodside has done enough maybe to have there? Because obviously, from a budgetary perspective, that would help because he's a lot less expensive than a veteran.
Exactly. You would certainly save a ton of money in that regard. And you know, time and time again, we have heard both Mike Vrabel and John Robinson talk this guy up. Is it enough? You know, has he advanced enough over the years, you know, just being on the practice squad and being around this team to merit a look at his second stringer? I think they're going to take a long look at that. You know, again, they're not going to say it now. They're not going to say we're not bringing in anybody else. Those are our two guys, Tannehill and Woodside. But they will give him a look, I do believe.
We're talking to John Glennon of The Athletic. He covers the Titans for them. And so I saw your piece yesterday about Derrick Henry getting the franchise tag and that, look, it was the right move. But Derrick Henry, of course, is going to want more. So where do you see this one going? I feel like they get a long-term deal done. He won't play on the tag, but what are your thoughts?
It's a really interesting question because, boy, if you're the Titans, you know, looking at it from their point of view, it's got to be very, very tempting to use that tag. You know, as much as you appreciate what Derrick Henry brought to this team, as much as you understand what a leader he is, from a strictly business standpoint, we have seen so many long-term second contracts for running backs, especially the big money contracts, have just been failures. And we've seen guys cut. We've seen guys traded because these just didn't work out. So, you've got to be at least tempted by the Titans, or if you're the Titans, to keep the tag on. On the other hand, you know, what does that say to your locker room? Obviously, what does that say to Derrick Henry, the guy who has at times carried this team on his back over the past season and a half, and all of a sudden you're not giving him, you know, what would be fair market value. So it's a tough line to walk, because I'm sure Derrick Henry is looking for money that would be close to kind of the first-tier NFL running backs out there. You know, and that's probably $14 million average or so would be my guess. So it's going to be very, very difficult in the end. You know, the Titans might be tempted to use that franchise tag. It would be not certainly a great response from Derrick Henry and probably the locker room in general if that occurred, but it might be one of those strictly business kind of decisions.
John, they announced the release of Deion Lewis, that was obviously the other running back, and so you have to, you know, they're going to replace him in some capacity. Do you see them doing that more via free agency with some of the backs that are out there, or do they address that in the draft? Because they also could be addressing, if they do sign Derrick Henry to a long-term deal and then want to get out of it after a couple of years, they could possibly have his replacement already on the roster.
Yeah, I could see them going either way on that, really. You know, there's certainly a number of good backs coming out. It's a good year for running backs in the draft. And, you know, and there's still some names out there in free agency, not huge names, but a guy like a Theo Riddick maybe, or someone like that could catch passes, could fill in on third downs from time to time. So I think there are options in both ways, but they're fortunate in that this is considered a deep running back class in the draft. So in the end, you know, if a team is trying to save a little money and address other problems with free agency money, maybe they go draft for that running back.
You know, John Robinson always seems to be, you know, pretty smart with his plan, but they do need pass rush. I think the draft is an area where they'll look at that too, but what about free agency? We haven't seen the Titans connected to anyone outside the organization as of yet. Do you see them possibly having an announcement when free agency opens of they might be signing somebody that could help on the pass rush front?
Yeah, it certainly, you know, remains, I would say, top priority at this point. You know, and really it was last year too, and they thought they had maybe solved the problem by adding Cam Wake, and things didn't work out health-wise for Cam Wake. But there are still some names out there. You know, so many of the edge rushers have been either franchise tagged or been signed at this point. There's still some, you know, some recognizable names out there, like Dante Fowler, still a guy who had a great season last year in a contract year. Marcus Golden has had some injury problems in his career, but he had a very good year last year for the Giants. Vic Beasley is a guy that has put up some good sack numbers in his career, and of course the big dog, the big name out there, Jadeveon Clowney. The question, you know, would the Titans have enough cap money to get him in here? He certainly has a strong relationship with Mike Vrabel, and he's not only, you know, a pass rusher. You know, he may be even a better run defender than a pass rush guy. And really, that's what the Titans maybe need off the edge. Is an all-around guy, because Harold Landry on the other side is more of a kind of a pure pass rusher. Clowney brings strength against that run as well. So, you know, don't overlook him, even though it would have to no doubt take some creative cap work, I would assume, to get Jadeveon Clowney in here.
John, do you have confidence that the Dennis Kelly teleconference will go off much better than Ryan Tannehill's?
It could not go much worse. There have been, you know, Twitter posts galore already. We've had warnings posted that there will be no transcripts provided unless behavior improves on the upcoming teleconference. So I think you know, that was a trial work, and we're bound to do better in round two.
I don't know if you've seen it, but it just hit. The Texans have traded Bill O'Brien to the XFL. So that just happened
for June Jones.
It's unbelievable. You know, somebody, you know, many people have no doubt said that, you know, in the past two off seasons now, they have traded
Clowney.
Yeah.
And they have traded DeAndre Hopkins and didn't get a first round pick in either.
Amazing.
Of those trades in return. That's hard to do, I would say.
Yeah, I have to believe he is not very popular right now in Houston. Just a gut feeling of mine. John, really appreciate it. Always good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
John Glennon from The Athletic, that's where you can find his work, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back, wrap up the third hour next. Like, I wonder what Roman Yossi's doing right now. I saw what Craig Smith was doing over the weekend. He's painting.
Painting, okay. Yeah.
Not fishing, he's painting.
But I was thinking fishing because fishing is allowed, right? It's by yourself. It's safe areas.
Yeah, actually, this
like he was painting a room or painting a picture?
No, like painting a picture.
He's a talented guy.
He's a man
quite
of many talents.
He's
a man of many
artist.
Talents. He is.
I don't know if you've seen Crazy Legs' work, but man, his...
He can play guitar.
Play
songwriter.
Guitar.
Songwriter.
Yeah.
Crossword puzzle guy.
He's gone up on stage.
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
He can rock some Mario Kart. I've issued a challenge. He hadn't accepted yet. But
Craig Smith can do it all. So that's what he's doing with his time. What's the captain doing with his time? What's Roman doing?
Well, as we all know, it's good to be Roman Yossi, so I'm sure he's finding something to do.
Yeah.
I saw Philip Forsberg tweeted out a video yesterday saying hi.
I've seen a number of players from a number of different teams do that. It's usually a very similar message, right? It's a very... very short message. Hey, hope everybody's doing okay. We'll see you soon. Be safe. It's nothing close to what Nick Bonino did via the messaging, which I hope people are coming around to, right? We're making progress in that area. Still, there are people very late getting the message. But I think we're moving in that area.
They don't have a choice anymore. Everything is shutting down. There's no rolling choice.
The Rolling Stones just postponed their tour. They just made the official
announcement. No, but what I'm saying is sometimes, like I was wondering if a lot of players would have the urgency to say, use their influence to say, hey, people, come on, don't go to the bar. We got to abide by these guidelines of social distancing, right? That's the message. There wasn't a strong push by a lot of players.
A buddy of mine I think it was in the last hour that he lives in North Carolina and said that the governor just told North Carolina to close restaurants and bars, dine in and take out delivery only.
Right.
That's in North Carolina.
Can I say this? Speaking of your buddies, the March Sadness bracket that was sent to us is pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was only it's only one quadrant.
Right.
But Watch TV comes in as the one seed there, Willie, going up against Yard Work, which is a 16 seed.
No doubt that's a 16 seed.
The 8, Vacuum, 9, Dust.
So that's a good 8-9 matchup.
I like that matchup there. Number 5 seed, Interact with Family. Tax Prep is a 12 seed.
Look for the upset.
I don't look
for the 12-5 upset.
Well, because we keep this in mind. I think I haven't read all the details, but I think they are pushing back Tax Day.
Yeah,
3 months.
I've heard that. Yeah,
that's been rumored out there that it's going
to
be.
I think they have. I don't know if it has to be ratified or whatever, but I think the Secretary of the Treasury said 90 days. We're good.
Yep.
Okay. And finally, the 4 seed
thumbs up on that.
The 4 seed, Get to Know My Wife, goes up against the 13 seed, Barbecue. So
that's a that line's about 2.5.
Tell you what, that's a loaded question.
Line's 2.5.
Have you guys seen the tweets?
There's consequences to who wins that matchup.
Have you guys seen the tweets that it's been circulating, but that says day 3 without sports, found a lady sitting on my couch. Apparently she's my wife. Seemed nice.
Yeah.
That's a running theme, right, that everybody fills in there. Their tweet, accordingly.
It's pretty funny.
What are we on now? Day 5? 6? So everybody's got a new
one
every day.
See, I have purposely just not been keeping track of it.
What day do you... What was the day? Thursday? Is that day 1?
Yeah, I think... Well, unless you count the first half of the Creighton-St. John's game.
Yeah.
Or if you went to one of the girls' high school basketball games in Murfreesboro, right? I mean,
yeah, because Wednesday night is when the NBA.
Yeah, they finished up the games that were going on that night,
but they didn't tip off one of them. So
right.
Yeah, Wednesday night I was watching hockey games.
Yeah,
yeah, watching the Blackhawks. They finished the schedule that night. Yeah,
yeah.
So pretty much Thursday.
So do you guys, this would be day five.
And we're just starting.
It begins.
I want when we come back to kick off the fourth and final hour. We're going to, one, I don't know if we could, do we even have anything? I don't even know if we want to now at this point. We've heard it was such a disaster. Yeah. Elijah, you guys have been working on it. Is it just unlistenable?
The first bit's pretty rough. Okay. There's some parts at the end. I'd have to edit it.
Okay. I think we got out of it what we needed from John Glennon, but. Dennis Kelly set to take, or not to the podium, teleconference in a couple of minutes. But there is something interesting Gil Brandt has said that will involves Tom Brady, but who knows what else or who he was talking about. We'll explain to kick off the final hour next.